have somebody that we want to pay special attention to, and they've hit a wonderful milestone. And has anybody ever had, like, made plans, and then, like, you know, these plans are just going to be, like, great plans, and then all of a sudden the plan just, like, falls apart, and then you're kind of left like, what am I going to do now? Anybody ever been in that situation? Well, this morning, I am in that situation. So, we had planned to give Keith a Bible this morning for his graduation, but we can't find that Bible right now. It is missing. But, Keith, I do want you to come up here, if you're willing, and we're going to have a little conversation. That means come up now. Yeah, thank you. And we're going to let you guys listen in on it. So, take a seat. This is one of the few times I actually give somebody a copy of my sermon notes before I preach it. But you're going to help me out, so that's okay. So, here's the deal. This is your mic, so I'm going to have you read some passages. And you can talk, whatever you talk, just talk into the mic, okay? Are you nervous?
A little bit.
A little bit? He didn't know we were going to do this, because if he did know, he probably wouldn't have come to church this morning. So this is kind of cold, but you know, different people do like a graduation charge, right? And I didn't really want to do a graduation charge because I was your age once and I thought I already knew everything that I needed to know. And, you know, turns out I was actually pretty close, but no, it's just not even close. But what I wanted to do is just kind of give you some pointers, ask you some questions and give you some encouragement. And some of the things that I've learned since I was your age, and all of it was from God's Word. One of the things that I have learned in my life is that all wisdom is found in God's Word. Like, if it didn't come from God's Word, it's probably not worth its salt. I've heard a lot of people's opinions and have found them to be very unreliable. Man's opinions, unreliable. God's Word, very reliable in my life. But one of the things I've been learning about recently, just recently, really focusing on recently, is about the idea of pursuing freedom in your own personal life. A lot of times we think of Christianity, right, as a prayer that you pray, and once you pray that prayer, good to go, right? Now, me and the guy upstairs, we're good to go, right? And I can just go out and live my life. And that is not at all the Christian life. That is actually a very false perception of the Christian life. And so we have this responsibility to pursue God. But it's a lot of times the devil makes it sound like a bad thing, but it's actually one of the greatest things that you could do, because if you think about it, like, what is the greatest thing that you think you could accomplish with your life? And I'm not saying, like, you know, being a missionary, but just, like, when you think about your life, what are some of the biggest dreams that you have?
Well, right now is to be able to graduate college.
Mm-hmm.
And just have, like, a good life afterwards.
Yeah, good life.
Be able to support my family and all that.
Absolutely.
When I get older.
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of like, you know, the common, what everybody wants in life is to have a good life, right? And so the only way to do that is to actually be good, right? Like, that's like an essential component to a good life, is to be good. And there's only one way to be good, and that's to follow God's word. I want to share this passage with you. It's Job 31, 1 through 12. Go ahead and read some of this down to actually, just read the whole thing. Oops. Can you read the whole thing?
I can, but it might not sound very good. It's
all right. It's just me and you.
I stutter a lot because...
It's just me and you anyway.
I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. For what God has above chosen for us, what is our inheritance from the Almighty on high? Isn't it calmly for the wicked and misfortune for those who do evil? Don't he see everything I do and everything in every step I take? Have I lied to anyone or deceived anyone? Let God weigh me on the scale of justice, for he knows my integrity. If I have strayed from his pathway, or if my heart has lusted for that my eyes have seen, or if I am guilty for any other sin, then let someone else eat the crops I have planted. Let all that I have planned be uprooted, and my heart has been seduced by a woman. Or if I have lusted for my neighbor's wife, then let my wife serve another man. Let another man sleep with her, for lust is a shameful sin, a crime that should be punished. It is a fire that burns in all the way to hell. I would wipe out everything I own.
So one of the things that you're going to come to face the reality of pretty quickly is that you're the boss now. Like, you are the one who makes the decisions for yourself. Mom and dad, they might try to control you for a little while, but you'll be like, hey, I'm on my own, right? And so you have to make your own decisions. And one of the things I love about this passage is actually the very first verse. He says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. Now, obviously, that's a good thing to do. But the concept that I wanted you to get is that you have a responsibility to make laws for yourself. Like, you are a government of one. You are the legislative branch, you're the executive branch, and you're the judicial branch, right, for yourself. And so you have the opportunity to say, you know what, this might not be necessarily like a right and wrong issue, but I want to make this a rule for myself. Right? And then some of the things that you want to make laws for yourself are exactly what God tells us to do, right? So, you know, for instance, the Ten Commandments, you know, you could just go right down that list and say, these are personal laws that I'm going to make for myself. And when I get to college, if there's other guys who say, you know what, I'm not following that rule, that's just, you know, in that old document, you know, it's racist, homophobe, all that sort of stuff, I'm not going to follow that. You can say, you know what, if that's not good for you, that's okay. But for me, in my house, this is what we've chosen to do, right? But you have to do that personally. Your parents can't do that for you anymore, because now you have that responsibility to govern yourself and to make those laws and covenants for yourself. And so I would spend time in reflection, spend time in maybe getting a journal out and saying, here are the laws that I'm going to live by. You know, and reflect on those. So you are your own authority, but your authority is not unlimited, right? God has given you the freedom to exercise authority, but you are responsible for how you exercise that authority. One is you are subservient to the government, right? To the church. Once you get out on your own and you find a church, you join that church, then you'll be responsible to them and how you live your life, but ultimately you will give an account to God for how you live. Matthew 12:35-37 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know, I remember one time when I was in high school, I was out with this guy. He wasn't really the greatest influence on me. And we were joking around about cussing. And so he said some cuss word, and then he's like, you say a cuss word. You know, and I don't cuss at all. I mean, I was raised in a Christian home, don't cuss at all. But in order to, like, you know, impress him, I said a cuss word. And it's amazing what you'll do in the wrong crowd. But the Bible says that every idle word, every single thing that comes out of your mouth, whether you're alone, whether you're with the wrong group, you will give an account for it. Why did you do that? And so we want to be mindful of everything that we do. And so as a young man, it's important to, you know, set out those things of, here's where I stand on these issues. And I might learn and I might grow, but I'm not going to compromise on what I know to be true and right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So your authority is not unlimited. It is subject to other authorities, and your decisions will be reviewed, and you will be held accountable. The next thing is, something I alluded to a little bit earlier, is that there's only one source of wisdom. A lot of times, people think there's all these different kinds of truth out there, right? And a lot of different people have truth, but there's only one source of truth. Read this Psalms 1:1-6.
Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with mockers.
Mm-hmm.
But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bringing fruit to see each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do, but not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff,
yep,
scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction.
Mm-hmm. So right now in our society, there's a lot of talk about privilege, right? And there's a lot of racial components. There's a lot of wealth components. There's a whole lot of components. And most of it has to do with hatred and bitterness. But the Bible says that privilege comes to those who obey God. If you want to have privilege in your life, and I hope you do, I hope everybody does, it doesn't come with having white skin. It doesn't come with being a male. It comes with following God's word. The joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners. If you stand around with sinners, you will not have joy, right? You will be condemned with the sinners. But if you stand out, which is hard, right? Nobody wants to stand out. Nobody wants to be the, you know, that block that everybody trips over. And but there's actually great, like, that's kind of like the lie that Satan uses on us. Like, if you stand out, you know, nobody will like you. But the reality is, you don't want them to like you anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, those people that won't like you if you stand up for what's right, like, that should be a great test to get rid of toxic people in your life, right? That's another word that's used a lot in our society today, toxicity, especially toxic masculinity. Masculinity is not toxic. Evil behavior is toxic, right? And don't hang around those people. Don't stand around with sinners. But instead, delight in the law of the Lord. Meditate on it day and night. There was an interesting quote. We went to one of the places that we went to in Washington, D.C. was the home of Frederick Douglass. He was a slave that ran away from the South during the time of the Civil War. And he got free, and then he went around and telling people about the evils of slavery and trying to get as many people free as possible. And one of the things that he did not do is he did not drink any alcohol. He never drank any alcohol. He had alcohol in his house, and people that would come over to visit him would drink alcohol, but he would never drink any alcohol. And so one time people asked him, "Why don't you ever drink any alcohol?" And he said this: "We were too busy trying to find the will of God to allow alcohol to impart our minds." That's not the way. Impair our minds. That's what I should have done. We were too busy trying to find the will of God to allow alcohol to impair our minds. And that's really what the attitude that we should have. Like, not pursuing entertainment, not pursuing momentary pleasure, but pursuing God's will for your life. Because you only have one life to live. And you want to look back on it and say, "I made the right decisions. I did what was right." Right? And so, the way to do that, the way to have privilege, the way to have honor, is to pursue God's word. To pursue God's wisdom. Psalm 119, 9 through 16. "How can a young man stay pure? By obeying your word. I've tried hard to find you," talking to God. "Don't let me wander from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word." People come to me for advice, for wisdom. And I can tell you it is not because I'm a smart person. It is because I've studied God's word. And I tell them what God's word says. And his wisdom is reliable. You can know nothing about a subject, but if it's God's words, you know it's true. Right? And so I would encourage you, if you're looking for wisdom, don't look for it in the world. Don't look for it in what people have to say. But instead, know what God's word says. Study it so that you can be approved when you're tested, because you will be tested. Satan will try to deceive you, discourage you, distract you. And God's word will be your saving grace if you keep it in your heart and in your mind. Okay, last thing is I want to do is go over three things, the secret to success in life. If you want to have a good life, here are three things. And we could be here all day talking about secrets to success, but I want to give you three. One is, learn to control your desires. In our society today, they teach you that whatever you want is good. If you want it, go get it. And that is the biggest lie you will ever hear. That is not true at all. You have to evaluate, is this a good thing? And you have to control your desires. God said to Cain when he was about to kill Abel, he was angry, he was discouraged, and he said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be approved? But if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it." Sin's desire is to destroy you. Satan walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for you. He's looking for Keith. Where is that Keith guy? What can I do to trip him up? Where is he weak? And he will push where your weaknesses are. And so you have to just be judicious in controlling your desires. Question every desire. Why do I want that? Where is that coming from? Read this, James 1, 12 through 15.
"God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, "God is tempting me." God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our desires, which entices us and drugs us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death.
Yes. So, sin, well, destruction, a lot of people, their lives are destroyed. And they say, how did this happen? It's because of sin in their life. And that sin came from their desires, and they didn't control themselves. They didn't have self-discipline, right? If you go into the military, that's one of the things that they'll talk about, discipline, right? They will discipline you so that you can learn discipline. But you have to learn self-discipline, controlling yourself. If you want to be successful in life, if you want to have a good life, you've got to learn self-discipline, right? And that's talking about self-government. That was the first thing we talked about. Okay, next one is be courageous. God said to Joshua, he was a young man taking over Moses. Moses had led the nation of Israel for many, many years, right? They wandered in the desert for 40 years, and he'd been leading them before that. And so he had been their leader. And now here's Joshua rising up in the ranks. He was actually one of the oldest guys around because all the old ones had died off due to their disobedience. But here's Joshua about to take over the reins, leading this country, Israel, into war. That's what they were. That's the plan. I'm going to raise you up. You're going to be the leader, and you're going to take this nation into war and defeat all these nations. And remember, right? They went in and scouted out the land. It was beautiful, all this milk and honey, but guess what else there was? Giants, right? And so Joshua's about to take on that role of leadership. And here's what God said to him. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything that you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. People want to have success overnight, right? Everybody wants to be successful tomorrow. But we first must study, and we must study God's word. We must know what is right and wrong, and we must do what is right. We must develop excellence in our own personal character so that way God can honor us and raise us up, right? He says, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and I will raise you up. And so that's what we must do. Just like Joshua, who's about to take on this huge leadership role, you are taking on the leadership role of Keith, right? Before that, your parents were taking on that leadership role. Keith, you should probably do this. Keith, you should probably do that, right? And they'll still probably give you some advice. But make sure that everything you need to do is coming from God's word. Then you will make your ways prosperous. Then you will have great success. And last secret to success I want to give you is be grateful. You know, in Romans 1, when God looked at all the people doing unrighteousness in the world, you know how he described it? As ungratitude. He said they knew the Creator. They knew there's a God. Everybody knows there's a God. You look into the world, it's obvious. Somebody made this place. But they weren't grateful for it. And they just went off and did their own thing. Instead of giving God the honor and saying, you know what, God's the Creator, I'm the creation, I'm going to do what He wants, they just went off and did their own thing. And so God let them go and let them seek their own destruction. And so we need to learn to have a heart of gratitude. Gratitude for God, for what He has done. Given us life, give us opportunity, right? Don't waste it. And also gratitude for other people. Colossians 3:15 through 17. Read that.
And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful.
That's good. We'll just do verse 15 there. Let peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. You know how to have peace in your heart? Is live righteously and be grateful. Right? Anger can't live with gratefulness. Right? You can't be grateful and angry at the same time. You can't be bitter and grateful at the same time. Right? You can't be really thankful for your parents and really upset with them at the same time. Right? One has to win. So learn to be grateful. When you're practicing learning new habits, or not new habits, but when you're getting into those habits that you're going to have for the rest of your life, and many of them you already have, make gratefulness one of them, and you will go far in life. Everybody that you meet, including the man that you see in the mirror, wants to matter. Everybody wants to matter. And if you make people feel like they matter, then you will matter to them. Does that make sense? Philippians 2:4, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And that has far-reaching implications, right? Not only when people need help, you help them out, but don't just be concerned about Keith, right? Keith lives in a community. Be concerned about the community, right? Get involved in community activities. Raise your family to be mindful of other people's needs. That will bring joy into your life, right? When I was a kid, I heard this verse that said, it is better to give than to receive. That had made no sense to me. Like, I love receiving things. Like, I love getting presents, right? Like, one year, I had the most presents out of anybody in our family. It was like 21 presents. Because I asked everybody to wrap all my presents individually so that way I could get a whole bunch of presents, right? And I just thought that was awesome. And I just didn't understand that concept of how giving could be better than receiving. But as I've matured and got older and I experienced more of what true love is, like true love, not what I thought love was, but like true love, you realize that there is great joy in sacrifice. Sacrificing for others and seeing them succeed. There's nothing better than that. Like, material things are great, but they get destroyed quickly, right? Phones break, tablets break, computers break. But the joy of people succeeding and knowing that you played a part in that, that lasts forever. There's never a time when that gets old. And so that verse, I've learned it to be true. It is better to give than to receive. And so make that a part of your life too, giving back to your community and giving to others, making them just as important as yourself. That's where joy is found. Loving God, loving your neighbor. Those are the two commandments that God said summed up the whole entire Bible. Love God, love your neighbor. And love just simply means wanting the best for somebody no matter what and being willing to sacrifice to help them get there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Awesome. Any questions? Where's your Bible? Is that your question? I'd like to know that too. It's a really beautiful Bible. It's one of the best Bibles you've ever seen in your life. And it's a really amazing Bible. And when we find it, we're going to give it to you. But maybe we'll bring it to church and let some people sign it and give you a word of encouragement or something like that before that.
Okay.
But at this time, we want to just have a word of prayer, and we want to pray over you as you set out on this new direction in your life, coming from being a student to being a man, going off to college. Where are you going to go to college?
I'm going to MTI in Mitchell.
And what are you going to study?
It's called SCADA. It's Robotic and Computer Programming.
Robotic and Computer Program. We're going to need to have one of you around because that sounds like you're going to be pretty smart. So, okay. Yeah, so you're going to stay at home, or what are you going to do?
I'm probably just going to stay at home in the beginning and then see if I can find somebody to room with later in the year.
Okay, awesome. Well, at this time, we want to have just a time of prayer for Keith. We'd like to have Mom and Dad come up in the family. Kids can come up if they want. Just put your arms on, put your hands on your shoulders there. And then, one of the important things to remember is, no matter what, that you have parents that love you and care for you. And they've sacrificed a lot for you, and they'll sacrifice a lot more for you. But most of it you won't ever see. And unfortunately, most of it you won't properly appreciate until you get your own kids, and then you'll be like, man, my mom and dad's pretty cool. That's how I was anyway. I remember when I was like 16 years old. How old are you?
18.
When I was 16, I wanted to adopt a kid just so I could teach my parents about how to be a good parent. I thought I had it all figured out, but I didn't have it all figured out. But I still don't have it all figured out, but I'm working on that. But I realize now just how wise my dad is, and how much he cares for me, and my mom too. But you also have your personal family, but you also have your church family, and it's really important that you plug into your church family, because if you don't get involved there, you won't grow and blossom into the man that God wants you to be. The church is the body of Christ, right? And the body of Christ is how we access the Father, right? It's through Christ that we access the Father. And so it's very important to be involved in our church. You can't be the Christian that God wants you to be if you're not around your church family. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So no matter where you go, no matter where life takes you, get involved in a good church. Find godly men that you can surround yourself with, and they will not let you fail. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So at this time, I'd like our elders to come up. Would. Their wives, they can come up too. So these are people that God has placed in your life to lead you spiritually, to watch over you, to make sure that you're being fed. But also, obviously, you have the majority of that responsibility on your own, but we're here to help you and to watch over you, to be guides and to be helps. But then you also have a whole church family, people that love you, that are praying for you, that will support you in whatever way that they feel that they can. God said that we are the hands and feet, right? And the Bible says that when we love others the way God wants us to, that we can actually see God's love working through our life. Like, we can actually see God working when we love others and when we express that love. And so at this time, anybody who would be willing to pray for Keith while he's in school and while he's involved in our church family and goes out into adulthood, if you guys would also come up and join us up here. Anybody who's part of our church family or be willing to pray for Keith, which could include everybody here. Which, come on up. There's plenty of room up here. Okay, we're going to pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, that each one of us could know who you are, that we could have a personal relationship with you. Lord, you've given us each the responsibility to govern ourselves. Lord, to stand before you and to give an account of how we lived our life. And so, Lord, I pray that as Keith begins to take on that responsibility, as he begins to mature and to realize who he is going to be, Lord, that he would make your word the foundation for his life. Lord, that he would search for wisdom, not in what his friends think or what his professors think or what the world thinks, Lord, but he would first seek your opinion, Lord, that he would first seek your heart. And Lord, we know that for those who put their trust in you, no one will be put to shame. And so, Lord, we might have to pay a price for our commitment to you. We might go through trials and tribulations, but Lord, we know that you will be with us and that we will not be ashamed for standing up for the truth. We will not be ashamed for standing up for what's right, even if it costs us our life. Lord, we can go to the grave and we can have high character. We can have a good life because we were committed to what is good and what is right. So, Lord, I pray that as you lead Keith, that he would lead him in that path of righteousness. Lord, that he would make your word his passion, that he would study it, that he would know it. And when the trials and tribulations, temptations and desires come, Lord, that he would filter them through his knowledge of your word, and that your spirit would bring to mind the things that he has learned from you. Lord, that he would love you and that he would love others and not be consumed with himself, but consumed with doing what is good and right. Lord, we just thank you for the people that you've placed into each one of our lives to be that encouragement, to be that support. Lord, I just know many godly men that you've put in my life that have played that role. Lord, some have mentored me, some have just been an example. But Lord, I just thank you for each one. Lord, I pray that you'd bring godly men into Keith's life that he can look up to as an example. People that he can go to when he needs advice. But Lord, I pray that he would regularly petition you, that regularly he'd go before you asking for wisdom and goodness and righteousness. And Lord, we know that you will provide because you are good and you are faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, man. Thank you very much. And like I said, when we find that Bible, we'll get it to you. Sorry about that, buddy.
Thank you.
Thinking about being thankful, John Adams wrote to his wife, but he was talking to his wife, but really talking to future generations that would come after. He said this, is this on? Can you hear me? He said this, Posterity.
What are we doing, Michael?
Here we go. Okay. Posterity, you will never know how much it cost the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make a good use of it. If you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it. A lot of people have done a lot of sacrificing on our behalf. We should not take it for granted. We should make full use of it. And most of all, the person who has sacrificed is Jesus, who, being the form of God, humbled himself to a servant and died. even on the cross.